Hello and welcome to episode one of What's Really Going On, the NewsHour adjacent podcast, where we chat all things with a student focus. Today, we're going to be talking about social media. Is a ban a good idea? Phone addiction? Children and their phones in schools? And what can be done to curb the ever-rising screen time amongst young people?
This is What's Really Going On.
Social media is now a key part of most UK adults' lives, with the majority using it every day. The majority of apps do not require verified ID checks for under 13s. This means many young children have access to social media apps in which they shouldn't. This discussion has come about in relation to Australia banning social media for under 16s, a law of the first of its kind in the world. In the next clip, you can hear Communications Minister Annika Wells set out the framework for the ban.
In 1 week, Australia will become the first country in the world to ban under 16s from having social media accounts. With one law, we can protect Generation Alpha from being sucked into purgatory by predatory algorithms described by the man who created the feature as behavioural cocaine. Through one reform, more kids will have their time back to learn an instrument or a language or walk their dog, or master a torpedo punt, or the perfect lob pass. Teenage addiction was not a bug, it was a design feature. And on 10 December, there are going to be withdrawal symptoms. Teenagers will be upset, some will fight to get back on, some will manage to find their way around the tech and keep their accounts. But I truly believe the short-term discomfort will be worth the long-term benefits.
The ban covers a variety of apps, including Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Threads, TikTok, X, YouTube, Reddit, and streaming platforms Kick and Twitch. It doesn't cover YouTube Kids, Google Classroom, or WhatsApp. 37% of adults say social media has a negative effect on their mental health, and only 14% say it has a positive impact. In the following clips, I spoke to some students about their social media and phone use day to day.
I don't know if this is embarrassing to admit in 2026, but I mostly use Tumblr. And I also use Instagram, and, you know, I spend too much time watching Reels, and, you know, I really feel like that's an issue. So sometimes I just delete Instagram off my phone and use the website instead to avoid that. But apart from that, that's sort of my only social media usage.
What kind of things are you consuming on social media?
I normally follow accounts of, like, actors I like, celebrities, YouTubers, stuff like that. And then on Tumblr, it's just, like, sort of random people who are interested in the same music as me and TV shows and things like that.
My social media consumption has changed a lot this year. I've made a really active effort to only go on social media deliberately. I've taken it off my phone. But before New Year's, I would be on it all the time. It would just be like a reflex. Like, you just sit down and you open Instagram. I've never used TikTok like as a viewer. I managed to avoid that, but I think that's only because I've never done it. So like I've never got built that algorithm or got sucked in. But things like Instagram, for example, and especially since they added Reels, it's so over.
What kind of thing are you watching?
Lots of cycling content. lots of both like professional stuff and also just like cycling content creators. I get some like food bits, lots of video editing things, lots of Formula One stuff, a reasonable amount of news, and generally more. Not all stories that are like mainstream, like sometimes like York stories or, you know, a wide range of things that you wouldn't necessarily have on, like, the 10 o'clock news.
So I would say that I don't use it regularly. And whether it has a positive or negative, I think it's indifferent, really. I primarily use it for entertainment and to message people I know, but I don't feel like it consumes my daily existence.
What kind of content are you consuming on there?
Memes.
Memes?
Yeah, Reels.
What kind of memes? Politics-related memes?
Sometimes. Lots of Tracer's content recently. Sun 6-7 content. You know, I suppose there's a lot of, like, historical content that I kind of see. But, yeah, a lot of it's kind of casual, low-level memery.
There are debates about whether teaching children to manoeuvre social media versus a full ban is the most effective method. However, 74% of Brits either strongly or somewhat support a ban on social media for under 16s. The Prime Minister Keir Starmer has not ruled out a ban, citing all options are on the table.
We need to better protect children from social media. We're looking at what's happening in Australia, but there are all options are on the table in relation to what further protections we can put in place. Whether that's under 16s on social media, all options on the table, or an issue I'm very concerned about, which is under 5s and screen time.
I sat down with the students to ask them what they thought could further be done to protect young people online.
I would actually encourage parental activity rather than the state. I think it ought to be the responsibility of the child's parents to introduce social media in a healthy manner, because I think that there's a lot of, in some sense, justifiable concern about the internet and social media. But, you know, if you are an introvert, if you are someone who maybe does not feel comfortable socialising in person in school, and maybe particularly secondary school, social media, messages, it's an outlet to communicate with people, but there's a barrier between them where you're not face to face. So I wouldn't undervalue that opportunity that you can give people, notwithstanding the proviso that it does, the best social media use is limited and targeted, and it doesn't involve kind of endlessly looking at memes, which, even though I do like memes, I recognise that I shouldn't do.
And I guess in the same vein, are there any changes you would like to see?
I think more stringent kind of parental activity, which actually is probably going to happen in the next 10, 20 years anyway.
And do you think that comes through parents or through school?
Parents.
Home?
Yeah, primarily. School, I mean, there's a lot of debate about banning phones in schools. And I think it's policy in any case for schools not to be allowed for phones not to be allowed in schools. So I don't think that's a big issue. But parents reinforce the habits, you know, when children come in on the weekend as well. You know, this is a time when habits are embedded. And, you know, from a very young age, maybe kind of 8 to 12, that the racket is when people probably start becoming social media curious, and it's how you introduce to that. And, you know, I think at that age, having parental controls, having kind of a strict oversight of what children can see, it is a good idea. But as I get older, I think those rules should be more relaxed, and because if they're not, people, you know, young people probably circumvent them anyway.
I think for under 16s, it's definitely a good idea. Like I say, there's no doubt that social media can be educational and can be a tool. But I also think you have to appreciate that there are so many other skills that can be picked up in a multitude of different ways that don't come with the added baggage of social media. Mm. So I think there's much healthier ways to build these skills. Not to be that guy, but like generations have done it before us and developed and built these things. So social media is not the solution to these problems. At best, it's just another way of getting that information.
Is it the responsibility of the companies, the government, parents or users? Who takes responsibility and who should be doing what in terms of managing?
I think it's everybody's responsibility, definitely. I think it's the responsibility of the parents, and I think as like there's a generation of parents that grew up with social media, it will be a completely different climate. But I also think individuals on their own can't each individual is being explicitly targeted by these multi-billion dollar tech giants. Mm. So somebody has got to stand up for the average person and put something in the way to at least make consumers aware of the damage or how they've been sucked in or obsessed with these things. So somebody and something and legislation needs to be brought in to protect individuals from themselves ultimately and from being preyed on by these companies.
The complete ban is definitely a bit too extreme, because I feel like it's not the responsibility of the government or the social media apps to monitor what children are looking at online. I feel like it's their parents' responsibility or responsibility of anyone who feels like, who they feel like they can talk to and trust, you know?
Do you think the social media apps have any responsibility then? Do you think they should be held accountable, or they're completely hands off?
I think that it's not up to them what is... I mean, I feel like social media apps should have some sort of regulation as to what is allowed on their platform. But I feel like censorship shouldn't be really extreme. And therefore, I feel like it is sort of up to them to make sure that young people are safe online. But I feel like the way that they're going about it is not the right way.
59% of Brits think that UK regulations on social media companies are too relaxed. The government have launched a consultation to identify next steps in the plan to boost children's wellbeing online, ensuring they have a healthy relationship with mobile phones and social media. Imminently, Ofsted will be checking school mobile phone policy on every inspection, with schools expected to be phone-free by default thanks to the announcement. Options they're looking to consider include determining the right minimum age for children to access social media, including a ban for children under a certain age, as well as assessing if the current digital age of consent is too low. Other issues they've specifically pointed out include infinite scrolling and streaks, two tactics used by social media companies in order to drive overconsumption and spending excess time on their platforms. Another intervention calls for the government to work with parents in order to ensure children are protected on these sites. For example, furthering guidance on parent controls and using schools to educate children and their families. One of the key interventions being proposed is the end to infinite scroll, the idea that a social media algorithm is never ending. This would simply mean the algorithm would come to an end and no more posts would be available to view. I asked the students I spoke to whether they thought this would be an effective measure to curb time spent on social media, or whether it was simply a sticking plaster for a bigger problem.
I think for me personally, it would be good, but I feel like as a whole, it wouldn't be a good idea, because I feel like restricting what people can see online is never a good idea, because I feel like censorship is such a slippery slope. And I know that's not like directly censoring things, but it's going to have a censorship effect.
I think the removal of infinite scroll would help, but I think it probably is just a plaster. I think no matter what these kind of things are, it's kind of a constant game of bop it in terms of these companies constantly innovating, coming up with new ideas. So, and even an outright ban is kind of a plaster, because new companies will pop up, new loopholes will be discovered. I think it would make a difference, but I think the social media companies would get around it pretty quickly.
You see, I'm not sure about this, because I think that we can treat kind of 14, 15-year-olds with some degree of respect, and I think it's not difficult if they are brought up to view social media not as a platform to just endlessly spend your time, but as again, throwing it as escapism or throwing it as light entertainment, in the same way that you would kind of view maybe watching an episode of Friends or another sitcom. I think that younger people are very tech savvy, and they can be, I think, recognised to understand those choices. But I'm queasy. I kind of have qualms about kind of banning them for all of them, because ultimately, children, young people, they are an exceptionally sneaky group of people, and they will find a way to circumvent the rules.
Well, there can be a lot of negative discourse about social media online. The students I spoke to were eager to put forward a different view, one that presents social media as a place of learning, discourse and community.
I do follow a lot of accounts on Instagram that like, have book recommendations or who kind of has interesting takes on politics. So yes, it can be a form of education. I just tend to, you know, I'm the type of person who reads a lot. I tend to use it as escapism, you know, for kind of 5 minutes, have a look at some reels, kind of get a laugh out of it, maybe send a few to some people who you know. It's a very interactive experience for me, and I can understand why some people, if you're just scrolling for hours on end, why it would be a problem. But I think if you're doing it in manageable chunks, it can actually be quite relaxing.
I do save a lot of stuff that I'll see something, whether it's like a editing technique or a photography thing or a creative idea. I save a lot of things and come back to them, or recipes, that's another good one. But it's definitely interspersed with And it's funny as well that I say that that's the kind of thing I watch, because I definitely watch a lot of stuff that's just like what you would define as slop.
What is clear to see is that there are differing opinions on social media, especially cross-party. Nigel Farage's Reform Party have previously said they would never ban social media for under-16s. The party are previously known for voting against the Online Safety Act. And while they maintain the stance that banning things is not their party policy, Farage said this January,
"Let's see where Australia is in 6 months' time. Let's see whether this actually works. You know, now look, you know, we have laws, of course, about what age you can start drinking. I mean, you know, do those laws actually stop people drinking under 18? I'm not sure they do. I would say, let's see the Australian experiment, let's see how it works, and then make our minds up."
Other left-leaning parties like the Greens call banning social media for under-16s a sticking plaster, quoting, "It won't magic away poverty, pressure or prejudice," calling it a mirror, reflecting the problems we refuse to tackle. They famously want to give the vote to 16 and 17-year-olds, and therefore this falls in the same wheelhouse. The debate about social media is complex and nuanced, as you've heard today. Hopefully it's given you some insight to work towards a system that benefits all and leaves children safe and protected online. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of What's Really Going On. A special thank you to Sunny, Ned and Harrison, who took part in interviews. If you've enjoyed what you've heard this week, do get in touch and request some topics for us to chat about. If not, keep your eyes peeled and we'll see you back here next week. Goodbye. This was an It's a Shambles production, produced, edited, researched, and presented by Ellen Parker. Guests included Sunny Fry, Harrison Scott, and Ned Connors. Recorded at the University Radio York Studios.